This is the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.
There you go, Kenny Loggins and Footloose to start us off on this Tuesday morning.
That's the way to start the morning now, a song like that. That's the cracker, isn't it?
It's actually his birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah, he's 72.
I wasn't
going to include him.
Would have given me him now.
Really?
I actually wouldn't have got. I would have said 63 or something. Like that. Thank you for excluding it.
Because
it's just
selection.
I got excited listening to the song. That's all. That's all that happened there.
Because we've allowed. There's about half a dozen of them for you to have a crack at today.
Jeepers,
so
it never rains, but it doesn't.
Kenny Loggins there. I thought, what's he ever done? Only Footloose and.
That's it, really, isn't it? Footloose. I don't remember anything else apart from Footloose.
I'm sure he must have had some other thing. But do you reckon people like Kenny Loggins get fed up when they get called one-hit wonders?
No,
sort of
I don't think so, no. I'd say that they're like, I know. What a hit.
Yeah, exactly.
Imagine if it wasn't for that 3 minutes of music, how my life could have been so different.
I'd take that all the time. Somebody said, listen, you can do one thing in your life. Live off it for the rest of your days.
It's like when people, I think, in my own way, I feel like I have it. People often come up to me and go, hey, right? And they go, I'd say that does your head in. No, that's the sound of thank God something's after working after years and years and years.
Yeah. There's nothing my bank manager loves more than.
Yeah. I must be the only person that doesn't mind going, all right, Jake, you work. Oh, no, thank God for that.
Somebody pointing out the Danger Zone, of course, was his other big hit. You know that.
Oh, highway to the danger zone. I'm gonna take my way. Yeah, that's a good song as well, actually.
Actually, God, Kenny Loggins was brilliant.
Yeah, that's another good cheese.
We never
fest.
Even appreciated it. Anyway, listen, welcome along, folks. 9 minutes past 6 o'clock. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Tuesday, 7th of January. Thanks for hanging out with us. I see a load of people on the text already. There's JP and Margaret Dunlea, and there's Antoness. And who's that now again? I'm trying to recognise the. Who's that again? That's, the Lily White, of course.
Ah, the Lily White. How's it going, Mr. Lily White?
Apparently him and his missus are listening together.
Oh, they're on their way to see United in City tonight.
Fair play.
Oh, fair play. Tell her the coffee kicking soon, she'd be grand.
She must be a very understanding Mrs. Lily White.
Unless she's just mad for it as well. Hopefully she is.
Football, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mad for it.
Sorry, just I thought we were going back to our other conversation we were having about Derek Okora. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
We'll get back to that later on. Anyway, Daryl and all the gang in Dublin 2 there. How are you doing? Oh, my God. Now, look, I've started something.
Now you've done it, you see. This is what you do all the time.
I'm starting and I can't finish.
And now, wait, you see. This will be like a rapper now.
There's Marie the Dub.
This is
Douglas.
When he turns into Billy Joel. How's it going, Lily White? Dub from Douglas.
Actually, that's what I should do. That's what we should do, actually. We should
buy some coconut.
I see Greg, Jurassic Greg there from Boston.
Jurassic
Sloan.
Greg. But
Martin the Trucker's in there. Larbar.
Larbar, how you doing, Larbar?
Oh, God almighty. Look, now they're flying now.
You see that? Yeah,
Northside Tony's
up,
just in there now.
It's all gone now. This is what
I think you have control over it.
Jim started this thing at the start when there was probably only three of you out there. And then it's unfortunately now we're into the hundreds of thousands. Keep up.
And I feel bad not giving everybody a shout out because we genuinely appreciate it. We love the fact that you're there.
Yeah, it's just hard to keep up, especially at this time of the morning.
And then, of course, I did that thing where I started individually replying.
I know.
You know, sending back texts. And then 10 o'clock, you're still there.
Were you actually texting on the machine? Yeah. Oh, your head case. God, fair play to you.
Anyway, listen, you're all very welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. 11 minutes past 6. We do have the birthdays on the way. And just a word of warning, all right? I didn't get an ounce of sleep last night. It was one of them.
Oh, did you not?
Yeah. And I thought it was going to be grand. I went to the gym yesterday and everything. I thought I'd be suitably tired.
Finally back. Oh, you had a great
didn't
sleep, thank God.
So
great
old
Kip.
I could be a cranky owl.
Oh, well, I slept for the... You know the way you did the fizzies for the two of us over Christmas?
Yeah.
I slept for the two of us last night.
Good stuff. Right, welcome along, folks. Let's do this. Yeah, and people's moving on up here at Classic Hits. 6:15, waking up happy with PJ and Jim about to take on the birthdays today. Right, you ready for this? Good selection for you today, I reckon.
Good stuff, yeah.
There's
all
a bit of sports in there. Good bit of sport in there. A couple of actors in there.
Jeepers.
And there's one absolute
belter.
Oh,
really?
One belter at the end,
I bet you. Now, wait to see. It's the world drafts champion or something like that.
I know, wouldn't be as well known as that now.
Oh, God.
Right, first up, one of our own, Olympic boxer, one-time Olympic boxer turned county councillor.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Kenny Egan.
That's the man. The man who was robbed of a medal, in fairness. Robbed of a medal. I'll never forget watching the fight.
Did he not get a silver?
Oh, he was robbed of the gold.
Oh, right, okay.
He was robbed. Robbed, like, remember watching the fight and everybody...
Where was his Olympics? Where was that one?
Now you have me. I'd have to do the Googling
was
on that one.
I was going to say, was it one of those foreign places? But to be honest with you, if it's not in Ireland...
Imagine, was that not the Cork Olympics? Is that what you're thinking? Oh, that's brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Was that not the Cork Olympics?
Yeah. It was a foreign place. No, it was held in Drimna. Yeah. Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, God, silver medal, light heavyweight. Where? I just put the Olympics in. Try not to look at his Wikipedia because that'll give it away. Where was it? I can't
Beijing,
see
Beijing, thank you.
Beijing, thank you very much.
Well
gentlemen.
Done. I don't know who that was now, but let me tell you. That was fair play to whoever this is that was sent that in. Martin Lally. Martin, well done. Beijing it was. Martin the plumber.
Oh, yeah. Was that that? Okay, no, cheapest. That's a while ago. I'd say he's in his 40s now then. Or close enough to it. 41.
38. Come here.
Why, you had a chance to help me there. And you shot me in the back of the trail.
Was he, like, apart from the Olympic boxing turned county councillor,
yeah.
He wasn't infamous for anything else, was he? Did he have a mad one?
He did have a mad one. He did this thing where he disappeared. Do you remember that?
That's it. What?
He disappeared.
I think I have his book.
Oh, do you? Yeah. I'd say it's a good read. He disappeared completely and then...
I said I had his book. I didn't say I read it now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we all have, mate. I'm fairness. The amount of books I buy when I have so many books I've never read. I don't know why, but there you go. Yeah, he did this. He disappeared. He went missing and everyone was wondering where he was.
Yeah.
And then he started sending these tweets, was it? Or texts saying... They seek him here, they seek him there and
yeah,
all. Remember
it was a weird kind of
I think he was in New York. He was off at a mad one in New York.
Yeah. I think he liked a bit of a party every so often.
I think so.
Sure, who doesn't? Right,
who
Kenny
doesn't,
Egan.
Yeah, exactly. I'm coming off the back of Christmas. I think May the 1st. Beck and E just throw the first
stone.
Throw the first bun.
Right, Kenny Egan, 38. Right, stick with the... and this, of course, your favourite, because we know how good you are at the Formula One. It's a big passion of yours.
Oh, God, he does this on purpose.
You're such a petrolhead.
You know the way he does... let's be honest. At least once a month he hits me with the F1. How many times has he hit me with the MotoGP lads or the motorbike racer lads? I might actually know.
They never crop
up. Valentino Rossi, you gave me him once and I got it right.
There you go.
And then he went straight back to the cars.
There's never a MotoGP lad rocks up in the birthday lists. That's what I'm afraid of. They must never celebrate birthdays there. They must just let them roll
too
on.
Too fast.
They're forever young.
They only get a birthday minute.
Right, Lewis Hamilton though.
Lewis Hamilton?
Yeah.
Oh, he's still flying, isn't he? Like, he's absolutely nailed.
Is he still going
still
out with a pussycat doll?
Top of the world. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know that now. I don't know. He was up for British Sportsman of the Universe. Or British Sportsman of the Universe.
Oh, my God.
British Sportsman of the Universe.
You made it sound like something out of By the Power of Grayskull.
Well, first, that's...
You are...
That's not too far off how the Brits used to see themselves back in the day.
This is the British sportsman of the universe.
That's like the Americans having a World Series. Lewis Hamilton has been declared sportsman of the universe virtue of the fact that he's British.
By virtue of the fact that he's British. Yes, well done. Sportsman of the universe. For God's sake.
That'd be an amazing title to have.
It really would.
Right, so how old is he? He's not that old, I'll give you that.
No. Still in his 30s.
Yeah.
36,
maybe. Oh, not bad, buddy. 35.
Okay.
Right, what do you want? I tell you what, we'll wrap up the sports people, right?
Right.
Before we go to the actors. Eden Hazard. Are you an
Hazard.
Eden? Are you an Eden?
Oh, no, I'd be an Eden Hazard.
Yeah, I'd be an Eden Hazard myself now.
Eden? Well, you hear him who calling. Says Eden?
Some of the people on the old telly box say Eden Hazard.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
The Garden of Eden. Eden apples. It's like County Loud.
You get them both in there.
Yeah.
Eden apples in the Garden of Eden.
Adam and Eve there were eating apples in the Garden of Eden. The whale. Your woman gave him the apple there and she got them thrown out of Eden.
Tell you who was there saw them. Labar. He was there. He saw them.
He was the snake.
Well, Larbar, you know he's not even from there.
Yeah, he used to wriggling around. The Garden of Eden.
I think poor old Labar is a dub or something. Anyway, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Right, so.
Not in our heads.
Eden Hazard. Whoever you're having yourself.
Football genius, to be fair. An absolute
now
genius.
Real.
And he's got a bit of the ravioli.
Ravioli.
Oh my God.
What is going on with
Ravinelli? Is that what I'm trying to think of?
You too much sleep you had.
I did.
Oh my God.
He's got a bit of the ravioli in his hair,
Ravioli in his hair.
Yeah.
All past the head, Hazard.
He's thinking of Ravinelli. He's got a bit of ravioli in his hair.
Brilliant.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What are you doing with your hair, Eden? I use Roma whole wheat ravioli.
Next time I go now to an Italian restaurant over there, I'll have an Eden Ravinelli, please. he's
a young man.
27.
Oh, 29.
Ah.
29. Right, okay, let's see if you have any joy with the actors, right? I'll tell you what, I'll give you a good one to start, all right? Because it's somebody that, I think you met. Certainly he was in the same series you were in. The Great Young Offenders.
Oh.
The one and only Robert Sheehan.
Ah, he's a lovely fella, yeah.
And a man who we've discussed on this programme, because I know you've met him, actually, now that I think about it. I remember the story.
I was in Cork. I was in the hotel, the Montanati Hotel in Cork, in the bar there. It's lovely. Looks out over the whole city. Gorgeous place. I was sitting there having an old fizzy with Orla, and he walks in, and he was wearing, like, this hairband thing, right? And these Aladdin pants, like these Aladdin, like genie pants, and like a pair of, like these silver slippers or golden slippers or something.
Oh my God, and he literally was like Aladdin.
But he actually looked totally normal. This is what's weird about it. He looked really well.
Only a star can carry that off.
That's exactly, you took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. And he walked off, and it never dawned on me.
If you ever rock in here wearing Aladdin pants and silver slippers.
That's what Orla said. That's what she said. She turned around and goes to me, like, he looked really well, didn't he? But in fairness, imagine you were walking around the park wearing the same gear. I'd be arrested.
You'd look like you'd finally, they'd go, oh my God, the old celebrity lifestyle finally got to him, he lost his mind.
He's after finding some mad hoodoo religion or something, that lad. Stage, he's gone mad.
I think he's gone into that Madonna thing with the cabal.
He's after getting into that thing. You know that thing celebrities are into like 37 years ago? PJ's into it now.
Oh my God. And he's a nice fella, isn't he?
Lovely fella. Yeah. Like a really lovely fella. Yeah.
I think there is a bang of star off that lad, to be honest.
He
with
is,
you.
And he deserves it.
I think he's in.
He's got it all. He's very, very good. He owns, good looking.
He owns the screen whenever he's on.
He does.
He's very good.
And he can pull off a pair of gypsy cacks in Cork. And that is one of the most amazing
Probably the biggest compliment you could pay him.
I think so.
Right, how old is he?
He's 37.
Oh, 32.
Oh, is he? Jeez, I'm so sorry. No, here's me thinking. I was actually nearly the same age.
To be fair, Aladdin pants put years on you anyway.
They do, yeah. The old golden slippers. Oh, my God.
Right, what about, speaking of, not that Robert Sheehan is in any way a mad lad, but speaking of mad lads, Nicolas Cage.
He is a mad lad, right there. I haven't heard that. Nicolas Cage. Oh, the man who plays 1,000 different characters in every one of them. He's like your man from Hello.
Yeah.
It is me. And everybody goes, I know, you're the same and everything.
He is actually, now that you mention it, he's absolutely one of your favourite types.
The same.
Just, he's always just.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's always just he's always worried. Do you know
always
what I mean?
Worried.
He's just always worried.
And always just slightly, it's just slightly unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because it's just downplayed that little bit too much.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What a shock. Oh. Let's quickly run and tell the president before it's too late. Isn't it? You know? Although he is in one of my all-time favourite movies, Raising Arizona.
Oh, Raising Arizona, right.
One of my all-time absolute favourites, because that's the whole character. No matter what happens to him, he's like, this is terrible. He's just one of them, isn't he? Yeah. He's got that sort of face.
And to be fair, there's a lot of movies I like him in. Con Air, I liked him in.
I saw a movie with him just the other night, actually, just over Christmas. I watched one movie with him. I can't even remember the name of it, but he's catching a serial killer in Alaska.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad.
It's a good movie.
That is not bad, yeah. I can't remember the name
of it.
But I have seen that one.
But every time it cuts again, it's, oh no, he killed another person. Oh, God damn it.
He's getting away with it. How old is he?
He's 53.
Oh, 56, not bad.
Oh, all
not
right,
bad.
All right.
And here's the gem for you, right? Guess whose birthday it is today? Screech.
Is it?
Yes.
From Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Ah.
Dustin Diamond.
Dustin Diamond. To say things went downhill rapidly after Saved by the Bell.
Well, or did they?
Oh.
Or did they?
Well, considering he got into a knife fight and ended up doing time in jail.
Yeah, okay, all right. Maybe that bit. Yeah, I thought you were talking about his porn career.
Well, he did a few blueies. He did a few blueies, which I don't think was a great thing for him either.
To be fair, if you're going to be called Dustin Diamond, you're destined for something, right?
Yeah, and
it's either fame or infamy.
Oh, yeah, it's blueies or rock music.
Yeah.
And he got into the blueies. And in fairness, he shouldn't have been into blueies.
No. Like, he didn't really have a bluey head.
No, sure, then he made a movie, the Saved by the Bell, the docu-movie. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, he made it. And of course, it went out to, and didn't get it wasn't a very successful movie. And everyone in the cast says, yeah, that's not true at all.
Like, yeah.
I don't know where he's getting this from.
Right, yeah. So the one and only Screech is
43.
Yay! You see, I knew he'd be a banker for
I know me blueies, Jim.
And now you're up to date on the home of the No Repeats 7-7, putting €1,000 on the line every hour. This is Classic Hits.
Good stuff. Thanks, Tara. 6:33. We can see you easier now because all the tinseldom is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Can see through the window.
Bit of a shock to the system when I walked in the front door this morning and the Christmas tree was gone. I'd have to fight, to wrestle to get into the building, you know, because it was right by the front door.
I had a moment of mischief in me yesterday, but I didn't go through with it.
What were you going to do?
Aoife came in and she took down the Christmas tree and she took down all the lights and the whole lot.
Yeah.
She left the adapter she needed for next year. She forgot it on the desk, and I was there. Will I just throw that in the bin now? And there'll be no lights next year. That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, if I just get that.
Literally, he would have been the man who stole Christmas. Yeah. From classic
and I thought, Grant, there'd be all the old nonsense to be around, but there'd be no flickering lights. I thought, will I just throw that in the bin? But I didn't.
Good.
You're learning.
There you go, you see. There's learning in
there's
you.
Still, there's still a tiny glow
there
in
is.
That heart
yeah.
of his.
I wrapped
there
it
is.
Up and I went up to Eve and says, you left down on the desk. She said, oh, did I? Oh, God, imagine there was no Christmas next year. I was like, yeah, imagine.
Phil Oakey, Together in Electric Dreams, and Macy Gray, I Try, just ahead of that. Somebody was on wondering whether Electric Dreams was a repeat. Well, to be honest with you, it wouldn't even matter if it was, because it's not 7 o'clock yet. The whole idea of it is that it happens between 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening. So if between those 12 hours, right, if you hear the same song by the same artist repeated in full, that's how you claim your grand.
There you go.
That's
yeah.
the way it works.
Easy as that. So just remember who it is.
We're going to kind of do a thing on money today, aren't we? From a different sort of perspective.
We are. I've had enough of this Scrooge, and I've had enough of being called Scrooge. Christmas has come and Christmas has gone. Mm. Right. Now, I bit my lip.
Right.
I didn't complain.
It's time.
I didn't complain.
You didn't? No.
Right.
So I barely remember you mentioning once anything about it.
So I want to get something off my chest about the good man that was in the history books, whose name has been tarnished, Mr. Ebenezer Scrooge.
There you go. It's time for the history books to be rewritten.
It's time for them to be understood.
Oh, right.
I will tell you later.
He's currently researching it.
Y'all have some humble turkey to be scoffing. The whole lot of you, I can tell you that much.
Right, so that's on the way. Speaking of cash as well, of course, we're back to normal on the hit bit.
Yeah.
960, I think, is the official total, is it?
960. We finally got back down to basics here. I should say, Mike managed to figure out exactly where we left off before Christmas. So we're just under the £1,000, €960 on the hit bit this morning.
Not bad at all. And it's a good little thing on the breakfast table quiz as well this week, because everybody's a winner. So we've got a ticket pick and mix.
We do. We've got the script, Simple Minds, and Simply Red tickets. You get to choose two of those tickets for any one of those games.
Yesterday we got a bit generous. We got a bit flahoolock yesterday.
Well, the idea is you're supposed to get five.
Yeah, just to have some sort of a bar to get
and
over.
She got three yesterday. But because
we caved,
we just didn't know what to do. That's not going to happen again. Yeah. So,
although you did have a fantastic idea after the event, unfortunately.
I know. I was there. Well, Simply Red, or we have Simply Red tickets to give away, who are brutal. So if you don't get the five, you should get the Simply Red tickets as like a booby prize. I think you have to go.
Because she chose script tickets, and after the event, PJ decided what we should have done was actually.
Well, can we? We can still do that posthumously. Let's just stick to Simply Red ones in the envelope. send them off and say, sorry, what are you serious?
You didn't get over five, so I'm afraid you have to take these Simply Red tickets.
Excuse me? No, Simply Red.
I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who'd be more than happy to get their hands on a pair of Simply Red tickets.
Yeah, I know, yeah. I know.
Mick Hucknall's da.
Mick Hucknall's da. Well, there's loads of people. Oh, my God.
Anyway, so look, so that's what it's all about. So Script, Simple Minds, Simply Red, tickets up for grabs, your choice, if you can get over five on the breakfast table. Normally, that's not a big deal. Yesterday was unusual.
Yesterday was unusual now, yeah. So we should be there, yeah. Although they were, again, there were some funny questions in there.
There was a few weird ones in there as well.
We shouldn't be knocking the poor woman. She did our best. And would I have done it myself? Maybe not.
Anyway, listen, so all of that sort of stuff's on the way. What else is floating about the place today? Anything exciting catching your eye there?
Yeah, there's a few things. Do you know something? There's one about Christmas and divorce. Let's not do that one. Ricky Gervais, of course, kept brewing up a storm. We might have a chat about that.
Brilliant.
What he was up to on that speech.
Brilliant.
What a great speech that was.
And there's something about working in an office actually costing you money or something.
How much it costs you to go to work? There's one for you. Especially if you work in an office.
Right.
There's a good one there. I think we should do that. We should do that. A lot of it's relevant to us as well.
Bit of a money vibe floating about the show today.
There is actually,
isn't there? From all angles.
And you know something? Listen, at 7 we'll tell you how much it's costing you. At 8 o'clock we'll tell you why you're right not to be paying it.
Yeah, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody here at Classic Hits. Waking Up Happy with PJ and Jim. Morning to you folks. Thanks for hanging out with us Tuesday morning, just 9 minutes past 7 o'clock. If you're on your way into work, heading into the office, into the factory, into the wherever it is that you happen to work, and you're going there, of course, to earn your pay, earn your keep.
Yeah.
And to think it's actually going to cost you money to do it.
Who knew?
Just thought I'd play a bit of Daffy. I know, you know, thought it'd be appropriate, you know, for the kind of thing we're going to do.
I just like that music. This is making me sort of jig. This is making me...
You obviously haven't copped who it is.
I have, yeah. It's making me jig. The best thing is, this. Your man's not singing, right?
No, it's all instrumental.
Yeah, listen. It's not. I'm talking about money. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, money's too tight to mention, apparently.
It's actually not bad when he's not involved.
We go to work to earn. Turns out it's blooming costing us a fortune.
Costing us a fortune, especially if you're an office worker, right? And you'd wonder, how could it cost your money to go to an office? You don't do that, no, and you're turning up and pushing your pens. Well, I tell you, this affects you and me, Jim.
Right.
To a degree I never quite thought about. So working in an office can cost you, it can cost you about roughly $2,000 a year.
It costs you.
Yeah, it can cost you. After spending on work-related outings, so you know the way you have to get gifts and all these things and clothes then you have to wear because you can't be just rocking in your tracksuit. I did once and you want to hear the reaction I got to it. Remember, hey, we have a dress code here. You halfwit.
Was this when Andy Bad News called you your man from It Ain't Half Hot Mum?
Yeah, because I had me... Remember, I came in the shorts. That was gas. Yeah, I came in me shorts and...
Gloria or something.
Gloria, he called me. Gloria from Relay Half Hot Mum. Yeah.
That's right.
Too young to remember that show, trust me, that is not a compliment.
I remember. Yeah. And then, of course, the other time that you did wear your tracksuit, albeit the tracksuit shorts, we had that unfortunate phone incident with you and Imelda May.
That was not my proudest moment. Jeepers. That picture still exists going in the real. And then these people started giving us me, would you have played the same joke on a man? It wasn't a joke. My keys were in my pocket.
I was more embarrassed about it.
Oh, my phone was in my pocket. I was the most embarrassed person about it. She retweeted it.
There you go.
Right. So anyway, as you get back to work, there's this list. It's been done by the Nationwide Building Society, right?
Right.
The thing was done over yonder, but it'll affect us in exactly the same way. It shows that the cost of working in an office and over working in a lifetime, it can, like, if you have a, like if you put in the full shift, you know, in an office job, it can cost you £68,000
over the course of your career.
Right.
And so, this is nothing to do with kind of necessarily your travel costs or any of that sort of stuff, or your lunches, is it?
Do you want me to go through it?
Go on.
Right. So pens, staplers, highlighters. So some people have to get their own ones. Like if you're working the likes of a Ryanair or something, I don't think you're allowed. But you have to get your own pen, do you? I don't know.
You have to get your own pen.
I don't know. I'm making things up, but I'm sure there's some people out there. If you run your own office, anyway, that doesn't count. No.
Oh my God, this is turning into like what's your man from The Simpsons? You know, the guy in The Simpsons that's always he's always down on his luck. He's the car salesman guy or whatever.
I can't think of it.
I'm going to have to look it up because he has a great line in it.
Remember that one?
About his wall. That's my wall. I brought that in with me. You know those office plan divider things?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's my wall. I brought
that's
that in.
That's my wall.
What is it? Gil.
Gil. Oh, I do know what you're talking about. Oh, Gil. But anyway. Do you know what? The cards and presents equate for so much of it, right?
Oh, my God.
So if you have like...
There was a time we had leaving cards every week.
Oh, my God. It was like when someone joined here a few years back now, it's leveled off completely. But they used to come in, this is Jerry, he's going to be working in the council. Just throw the fiver for him leaving the following week.
Yeah.
Into the hat. Straight away.
We used to buy their best of luck in your future card.
Yeah, you just go straight out and buy the... Yeah, you go straight up and buy them their retirement cake and hopefully they left before it went stale. It was unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable turnaround. But cards and gifts for things like... So births of colleagues' children, that adds up to about 100 quid. Weddings adds up to about 90 quid. Then you get the retirements, you have to do that as well. That's adds up to about 92 quid. And then there's like colleagues leaving presents and what's I don't know what that means. Charity and sponsorship requests. Now we've all had those people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We've all had that. You know these people that come in and go, I'm doing a charity run for blind cats in Asia. You're like, how much do you want?
Yeah.
Well, Jim gave 20 quid. Of course he did.
Yeah, because you literally stood in front of him for a while.
Yeah. Now I have to do it because all he had was 20. I have to go to the bank machine. And get you 20.
And they always stick them up on the press or something, don't they?
Yeah,
I'll just leave this here.
I'll just
here.
Leave it there, yeah.
I'll just leave this here.
And then you get the email goes around. If anyone's wondering, Debbie's last day before she does the relay race for leprosy. You're like, oh, for God. Like, fair play to her and all. But jeepers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, could she not do it with somebody else's money?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then you'd see, you look at the list, it's always the same people. The people that have to sit next to her. So then there's drinks, nights out and parties. Yeah. That's a huge thing. Huge thing.
Yeah, because lots of jobs do that sort of like Friday night after work thing, don't they? They all go out. A lunch thing or a once a month thing.
And then there's the big corporate dues and you have to get sort of dressed up for them. You have to spend
the
clothes. We
never get invited to those.
No, thank God for that. Yeah. Thank God. No, we get ignored, basically, because we're here so early in the morning. Everyone goes, the lads, they won't be able to go. They're gone home. Oh, thank God. But little do they know, we'd just be rude if we were around at the same time as everyone else. So then you have clothes, you have all of that sort of stuff. Then, of course, there's your technology you need for your job. A lot of people need, like, you know, iPads.
And they buy them themselves.
Well, yeah, I suppose a lot of people have to, don't they?
Wow.
Yeah, imagine that. Go in here and ask for an iPad, see how you get on.
Yeah, fair point.
You'll walk out with a Nokia 5110 stuck in your ear.
Let's go back to that thing about the pens.
Yeah. I have a classic hits pen, I'm delighted with it. I think it's the only one in existence here. Look at this. The business.
It doesn't count if you just write classic hits on a normal pen.
Oh, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, then I don't
if
have
you
one.
Carve it in, if oh, you carve it in with a blade, oh, that doesn't count.
Don't have one. I thought if I scratched off the building society.
So it actually costs you a fortune just to go to work, and that's nothing to do with genuine costs like your travel in and your lunches and everything.
Yeah, and then there's like weddings. You know what I mean? Someone gets married and you all have to go, and that involves getting presents and clothes. So it all adds up to about 30 grand through a life, through a career. So that's like mad stuff, you know?
That's crazy.
I'm so glad I don't make an effort. I mean, it would really cost me a lot of money if I made an effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to be getting involved in that kind of
career. So when Trina got married here, I didn't get invited at all.
Yeah.
Like, everyone got invited and I didn't get invited at all. And in fairness to her, she came up and just goes, there's no point in asking. I was, you're right. You're right. And I thank you for not asking me. She was very nice of me.
You were the only one who was delighted not to receive it.
This is brilliant.
Yeah, Bryan Adams, Mel C, When You're Gone, here at Classic Hits, Waking Up Happy with PJ and Jim. Speaking of having to bring stuff in from home, this is the thing I was trying to remember right from The Simpsons, right?
Yeah.
I earned that wall. Don't push your luck, pal. You're hanging on by a thread. I brought this wall from home.
They need a good...
poor old Gil.
Old Gil from The Simpsons. Anyway, listen, 087-188-0008 if you want to give us a shout. Lots of people looking to get involved in the hit bit already. That's cool, no problem at all. Let us know you want to play. Just a reminder, don't give us your guess. Okay, that's all important because it wouldn't count anyway.
No, it wouldn't count anyway, so there's no point in doing that. Just give us your name and where you are and that you want to play the hit bit, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And it's 960 quid, 087-188-0008. Send that to WhatsApp and we'll try and get on and give you all the cash.
Yeah, I want to break free from Queen here at Classic Hits. It's, 23 minutes away from 8 o'clock. Hit bit on the way, 087-188-0008. If you fancy having a go at that, maybe you don't know if you want to have a go or not. Maybe You're a bit like me. Maybe you're a bit indecisive about things.
Yeah, maybe you're like Jim. Maybe you're thinking, jeez, I'd love that. We'll have a go. I better not. Oh, jeez, I better think about that. I'll sleep on it. And then, oh, someone's won it. You know the way, I think we all know that Jim is a great man for giving Jim a hard time. Nobody else does.
Yeah, I do tend to second guess myself a little bit too often.
Isn't it? It's like listening to music, watching it happen. It really is. Jim, what? There's a gig on tonight. Do you want to go? Do you want to do it? Right, yeah. I'd like to do that now. Hold on a minute. What have I got on? Hold you.
But if I did it, would it be any good?
No, hold on, probably wouldn't be great. Oh, I don't know if that'd suit me now.
That could knock me back.
Here, let me ring the missus. Yeah. Oh, I am free, right. Okay, why else can I not do it? Torturing himself.
I'm not alone.
You're not alone. Scientists are now getting in on this. They're wondering why certain people second guess themselves. And they're wondering what the effect is of second guessing yourself is. Like, should you actually just be impulsive and go with something when you
feel it? Gut instinct, like.
Follow your gut instinct. Or should you be more like yourself and say, well, hold on now, and evaluate it?
Yeah.
Well, people who second guess themselves tend to make worse decisions in life than those who trust their gut and jump to
say, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that it backfired on me. I knew I was doing something wrong.
I just wonder, though. I wonder if the scientist was meaning to do this years ago.
Yeah.
And he's only gotten around to it now, and he goes, mate, you never know. The research might tell me that I was right. Could have done this years ago, right? Okay.
And I'd say he was there when he had the finding, was like, right, I'll put that out. Actually, no, should I put that out now? If I put that out, God, what'll happen? People might take it the wrong way.
They're going to start thinking, So they've analysed the betting habits of 150 people, and they found that those who changed their mind were wrong almost a fifth more than people who just sort of thought, no, that's
God,
it,
that's
they go.
That's mad.
Yeah.
Because I tell anybody, so who's ever enjoyed a flutter, always gamble responsibly and all that sort of stuff. But anybody
or not
who's
at all, preferably. Yeah. This is for research.
Well, yeah. That's true.
Mind you.
Anybody who's ever done has had one of those moments, or more than one of those moments, where it was like, you know, you had an inkling for some horse,
how many times,
and then you kind of convinced
happens.
Yourself with form and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And the other blooming thing won.
I like a little sneaky one on the football here and there. And I'm always go on, I'll put the score in. Almost always regret it.
Yeah.
Almost always regret it.
So basically what you're saying is now gut instinct is a good thing. Should go with your gut instinct.
Researchers are saying their findings would apply in any situation. So it's not just a betting thing. So where people have to make an educated guess about the future. So if you're making an educated guess, it's not like, should I punch that man in the face? It's none of that.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, because like,
you know what I mean?
You know those times when somebody turns around and goes, what were you thinking? Well, I thought it'd be funny.
I thought it'd be funny if I pulled down these trousers and mask. I thought I don't know. I thought the priest would start laughing.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, somebody would turn around after that incident
and go, what were you thinking?
Probably as you're being led away.
What?
It was just an impulse thing.
Yeah, but just for God's sake, I have to think about it.
You're in mask. You're a grown man.
I don't know. I just saw you had elastic trousers on and I thought I'd have to pull them. I thought everyone would laugh. Mind you, that's not a million miles away from something I might do. But anyway.
Classic hits.
And now, the Hit Bit with Woodland Motor Company. Finding a quality used car can be a little hit and miss. Finally, find the deal you can rely on. WoodlandMotorCo.ie.
Hit Bit. It's a bit of a really famous hit. It's a bit, just a bit from a classic hit, but what hit is it?
Hit Bit.
The Hit Bit is worth €960 this morning, so it is. We'd love to give it to you, banging off £1,000. It sounds exactly like this. And it's all yours if you can tell us what it's from. Still think there's a bit of Bon Jovi-ish something going on there.
Been categorically ruled out.
Oh, says who? Says who?
I think that might have been you, Michael, that categorically ruled it out.
PJ, I'll say it again. It is not Bon Jovi. What is wrong with the man?
I'm like one of those climate change denier people. You know, in spite of all the evidence, I've made up my mind.
You and Meatloaf.
Yeah, me and Meatloaf. He's a gas man, isn't he? Fella names himself after his own dinner and then wonders why we don't take him seriously. So there you go. So £960. Elaine Brown is in Kildare. She's going to go first. Hey, Elaine.
Hi, lads.
How's it going, Elaine? How are things with you?
Not bad, thanks. How are you?
All good.
What's the crack? What's your plans for the day, Elaine?
Well, I'm just sitting outside my daughter's crèche at the moment, and then I've just got other stuff planned. I'm off maternity leave, so I guess it's taking care of a six-week-old.
Oh, God, oh, wow. Oh, you're
right,
flat out.
Okay.
Right.
So, no time to spare.
I love that. She made it sound like she was doing nothing and then mentioned she's actually doing a whole lot.
Right,
Elaine, you haven't got much time on your hands then. What do you think it is?
I think it's Phil Collins, Susudio.
Oh, I like that song. Right, so Phil Collins, Susudio.
Unfortunately, it is not right. Sorry about that. But you can have a go tonight with Damien Farrelly, or if not, you can have a go tomorrow. You just have to wait one more night.
Oh, dear Lord.
One more night.
I thought he was going to do a Damien Farrelly be here at the Studio.
I don't let him have that. I've done that twice before.
I'll have you on bigger parts.
Look, Elaine's busy, right? We've got to let her go, for God's sake. Sorry about that, Elaine. Listen, have a cracking day. Thanks for having a go.
You too, thanks.
Take care of yourself. Cheers.
Right, Elaine and Kildare. Right, to Leanne McNulty, who's in Dublin. Hiya, Leanne.
Hiya.
How are you getting on?
I'm just on the way to work, so...
Oh, right. I'm delighted with it on the road. But
yeah, yeah, you sound over the moon about that, Leanne.
I'm delighted, yeah.
Where are you driving at the moment? It's all good, is it? No traffic jams or madness going on?
No, it just came off the
M50s. Fine. Happy days,
at least you're off Ireland's oldest social network.
Yeah.
What do you think then, Leanne? What do you think it is?
I think it's keep on moving, like
five. Right, on moving. Right, Mike.
Leanne, I don't know if the M50 is blocked or not, but you need to keep on moving yourself because it is wrong. But don't be upset. Don't be upset. Get on up when you're down.
You know what the best part about that is, Leanne, right? He's actually reading that off a screen. He didn't even know the lyrics.
Wait for it, baby. Take a better look around. I know it's not much, but it's okay. Will I keep going?
No, thanks.
No,
let's just leave it there.
Keep on moving.
Right,
anyway.
I'll start.
You have a button that turns him off, don't you?
I'll just move the volume down a little bit on him there. Still going. Still going in the background. Leanne, let's have a cracking day. Take care of yourself.
You too.
Cheers.
See you, Leanne.
Right, so Damien Farrelly does get a chance in the studio. Annie Lennox walking on broken glass here at Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim. Although sad news breaking, as you heard with Tara in the news there in the news at the top of the hour. Sad news just breaking around about now.
Yeah.
Of the death of the great Larry Goldman.
Ah, seriously. That's like you said just a minute ago, just before we turned the mics on. We always talk about him being one of the nicest people you could ever possibly meet. Like, an absolute, complete, another gentleman.
Yeah, one of the nicest. I mean, it's always been really nice to everybody. I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's ever had a bad word to say about Larry. He's been fantastic.
Just, he has that reputation. It's such a shame that he's gone. What a horrible year it is for all the people and voices we grew up listening to.
Yeah. I hope it's not going to turn into now another one of those years. Remember that what year it was when we lost, like, loads of the music icons? We're losing
Bowie and
we're
Prince
losing,
and everything.
Radio icons at a rate of knots at the moment.
Gay Byrne and
Marion Finucane.
Marion Finucane and now Larry Gogan. Larry Gogan, who played the first ever record on 2FM when it started.
I having the opportunity to meet Larry a lot, I wouldn't, you know, over the years, and that's the kind of, you know, whereas with Marion Finucane, I never met Marion Finucane, never encountered her at all.
I met her one time and she was very nice to me, I have to say.
Didn't know her that well, but Larry would have met her quite a bit and... Like, that's a shocker. Legend. That's terrible.
What a legend of the game. 40 years, over 40 years in the job.
Yeah.
Doing radio. Over 40 years. Started out my way, actually. He had a record shop in Fairview that people still talk about. Apparently, he was working away in the record shop and someone he knew came in and said, you should audition for this radio they're all doing, you know. Getting onto the wireless, I suppose. Went and he did the audition and it went well for him. And who knew that he was going to become a household name, literally a name that you can't get away from, that you wouldn't want to get away
and
from.
What a voice. You're talking about the voices that you grew up with. But like, I mean, I don't think his voice changed over those 40 years. He sounded as young and as kind of on point, or whatever the expression is, as he ever did.
Ever. Just like that. The same voice, and it's so relevant all the time. I used to watch Larry Gogan's Golden Moments on RTE2. He had this amazing show that came on. And you saw the videos to the songs he was playing you during the day. Yeah. And I sat there, I watched so many videos and got so into all of this music and got so wrapped up in it. I used to look forward to it so much. I think it might have even been before the days of Vincent Hanley on MTUSA. And just getting, it was just this brilliant show. He was just such a great person to bring you in and make you feel like you were enjoying the whole thing. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, he was really supportive of everybody. And it's I mean, obviously later on this hour, we're going to play our breakfast table quiz. But the man, of course, who made Just a Minute. Absolutely legendary, basically, iconic.
And had some of the funniest dancers ever.
Absolutely.
Where is the Taj Mahal? Opposite the dental hospital. Like, can you, will you stop? Some absolute hilarious radio came from
on.
Where did the Walloons live? I remember listening to it one day and the question was, where did the Walloons live? And your man goes, Ballymun. It was just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant stuff.
Absolute icon of radio. That's a really sad loss now. I'm upset by that now, the passing of Larry Gogan. He was such a nice man. And he's the, as you say, kind of the, like, it's like the godfather of this sort of business. You
he
know what
really
I mean?
Is.
This kind of the music end of this sort of business.
He really is.
Incredible. Sad, sad loss.
Turned down the BBC and everything. Like, you know.
Did he say no to the BBC? Yeah.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently he got an offer for the BBC and he just, I don't know what his reasoning was, but he stayed here where many others didn't and wanted to go abroad and do their thing, and fair play to them. But he stayed here and put in the legendary career that he's put in.
And he was. Like, legend is bandied about a lot, but in his case, it's absolutely appropriate.
Really is, yeah. That's sad to hear in that news.
Sad, sad loss, the death of Larry Gogan. Yeah, Tainted Love, Soft Cell, here are Classic Hits. Waking up happy with PJ and Jim, just 16 minutes past 8 o'clock, and
a great philosopher once wrote.
Yeah, well, maybe not a great philosopher, but certainly PJ Gallagher has decided that he wants to put the record straight on something that's been... This thing kind of occurred over the last little while, didn't it? It came out of your... I was going to say your special kind of relationship with Christmas.
I've had enough of this now. I've had enough of this about Ebenezer Scrooge. I did not know. I went along with all of this, right? Now, we all know how I've been... I'm not a great fan of the season of Christmas because it's not more the season of getting money out of my pocket than it is the season of goodwill, let's be honest.
Right.
I kept quiet about it. And then when it came to sitting over Christmas, I watched Ebenezer Scrooge, the original movie of Ebenezer Scrooge I watched.
Like, right? A Christmas Carol.
Yes. Oh yeah, Christmas Carol. He's not scabby.
Like, not the musical.
No, not the musical. Well, there is music in it. It's just not the music I imagined. Apparently, they don't sing you want to pick a pocket or two. So I watched this, the original, the black and white Ebenezer Scrooge Christmas Carol movie. He's not scabby. Like, he's actually not scabby in the movie.
Right.
Like, he's not.
So you're saying Charles Dickens didn't write him as a hard-hearted old...
I think Charles Dickens missed his own point. He's sitting there, I didn't know they all owed him money. They all owe Scrooge money. He's doing his thing. He's running his business. He works in Christmas to supplement everybody else. They all owe him money. They don't want to come in. He actually... Your man, Cratchit, he doesn't want to pay back the cash because it's Christmas. I didn't realise it was the opposite way round. You know, he gives him coal to stay warm at the fire and all when he's working. He doesn't have to give him. And then all of a sudden everyone goes, oh, I'm having a party. I don't want to pay you back the money. And he's scabby. He gives them 6 days extra not to pay the money back.
Oh my God.
And he then...
You're launching a defence of a money lender who's, you know...
Hold on a minute. He lend them money they didn't have. He supports the local prisons. He puts money into the prisons and the local warehouses and the local workshops and all. And what does Cratchit say? Some people would rather be dead than working in the workhouses. Well, Grant, I'll take me money back so I won't give it. He's trying to do the right thing the whole time. And then every time he does something right, someone turns around and says to him, you really are a Scrooge, aren't you? He goes into work on Christmas Day on his own.
Right. Who does that remind you of, people?
Yeah.
Who does that remind you of, that chap that goes into work on his own on Christmas Day?
Yeah. And what's he doing in there? He's making sure everybody has a job to come back to on Stephen's Day. What happens on Stephen's Day? They all come in late.
Oh my God, he's giving out about being late on Stephen's Day.
Yeah. After he pays for their dinner, after he has a mad sort of emotional breakdown and gives them all the money he can, he pays for their schools, he pays for all the food, he gets the whole town is out dancing. What happens the next day? They all come in late. They don't even give him the decency of being at work on time. It's outrageous. I can't believe
God.
They painted Scrooge as being a...
It's a good job you don't run any companies. That's all I'm saying.
Oh yeah, why? Because you'd actually get a loan off me. You'd get coal you didn't need.
What time do you call this then, eh?
It's unreal. I can't believe they made him into a skinflint. I'm upset over it, to be quite honest with you.
And but then I went it's looking. Launched you on a kind of a search for people who should have been.
Who are actually skinflints.
Right.
Who are actually skinflints, right? So who knew Charlie Chaplin is one of the biggest, scaldiest men that ever worked in Hollywood?
Are you
a
serious?
A notorious skinflint. Yeah. So scabby, right?
Yeah.
That he wouldn't even pay to have his house built by actual builders, and he got the set carpenters to build his house, right? So he could pay them a fraction of the cost of an actual builder.
Right.
And the set car, his house was fell apart so much as it became known as Breakaway House. He never paid, never bought a round in his life. He used to turn up when they were all like having their show drinks and all that. Normally, other Hollywood actors at the time would get something in. Never, ever, ever had a penny in his pocket. Always notoriously forgot to bring cash.
Lovable kind of Charlie would.
And he was known as the scabbiest man. Him and Cary Grant. Another notorious skinflint. Apparently, Cary Grant was so absolutely scabby through his career that he got the name Cash and Cary. Yeah, Cash and Cary Grant, yeah.
That's fantastic.
He used to charge people 25 cents, a quarter, to give them an autograph, and he said it would go to charity, and there's not one registered donation made.
Oh,
he
my
was
God.
Keeping 25 cents a purse. He was worth millions. Absolute millions. And again, would never pay for a bill. He used to go out and he'd sit there and wait and wait and wait and wait until somebody else got him the bill. Wouldn't pay a bill. Cash and Cary Grant, a notorious absolute skinflint as well. These are real scabby people.
Yeah.
These aren't providing work for good men. These aren't providing Christmas dinners. These are just scaldy gits.
Charlie Chaplin might have been, he was an institution in himself.
He was.
Mind you, who'd have thought that the tramp figure was kind of like
the Scaldi
closer to the
was
bone.
Actually a bit of a tramp in real life, yeah? They have a statue to him on Leicester Square, and the fella was the notorious
Scrooge hasn't gotten a...
Spoiled Scrooge.
Well, he got a song out of the Shaman, but other than that...
All he gets is given out to, yeah. And then there's like the most notorious... Actually, no, there's two more. There's the Duke... Was it the Duke of... Your man, the King... The eighth, King Edward the Eighth, was that him?
The abdicator.
Yes, yeah, so
Edward
the man
and Mrs. Simpson and all.
Ran
that.
Off to marry the American,
yeah.
And the scandal that went with it. And then the stuttering fella got the throne instead.
Right.
So he was also another one of these notoriously. He was worth, at the time, they reckon in today's money, about 800 million.
Right.
Right. And apparently, every time he went for dinner, he would dilly dally and go to the toilet and everything as much so long that people thought they wouldn't get home if they didn't pay his bill. And
he used to do
this thing where they'd ask him to pay. And he'd just stare into the middle distance and wouldn't even answer the question. And then if they asked him again, he'd start whistling a tune. So he used to turn his head. So like, are you paying the bill? He'd genuinely do that until everyone else paid his bill. An absolute louse to be around when it came to being a skinflint.
Brilliant.
But my favourite skinflint of all time is, you know your man, what's his name? Ingvar Kamprad. The guy that founded IKEA.
Oh, right, okay.
He was the scabbiest man, the scabbiest billionaire in the world. So he was once given an award for, like, best businessman of the year. And they wouldn't let him into the awards because they saw him getting off the bus across the road. He wouldn't even drive himself. Wouldn't even pay for parking. I'm getting the most of, like, the best. He used to fly around. He used to wait to get his hair cut in third world countries. He wouldn't get a cut in Europe because it was too expensive. So he had to wait until he was flying around Vietnam or whatever. At the time, when it was considered not the country it is now, whatever, still very cheap now. He used to wait to get his hair cut there because it was a waste of money getting his hair cut in Europe.
Oh,
Europe
my
was
God.
Too expensive. He's unbelievable. He drove a 15-year-old Volvo when he was a billionaire. A 15-year-old Volvo that was dangerous on the road. The only reason he stopped driving it was because he couldn't pass the NCT anymore. Like, you're talking super mega skinflint. He won't let staff workers in IKEA... like, leave the light on when they leave a room. Now, people are going to say, oh, well, the environment. He's not thinking of the environment. He's thinking of
the few pence.
Yeah, he's thinking of the fresh air in his pocket is all he's thinking about. So when you think about it, the skinflints of the world, yeah, grand, okay, I gave €2 to my nephew for his communion. I still don't know what a two-year-old needs 800 quid for. Calling the revenue on him when he makes his confirmation. But I'm just saying...
So you reckon that Scrooge got a bad deal?
Scrooge was a good guy. In the grand scheme of things, Scrooge was a pretty good guy. Everything that he did provides work. He did so much for everybody. And you look at these lads, you know what I mean? Ingvar, what's his name?
Yeah.
You know, when he flies around the world as well.
Wasn't there a story, though, that your man, the Duke of whatever he was, Windsor or whatever, Edward and Mrs. Simpson, him, that when he went on a cruise, he used to try and win the bingo?
Yeah. Sorry, I forgot that. Yeah, even when he went on a cruise, which he paid 70% less for than everybody else because he got these discounts. So he was getting it for 70% less. than everyone else. He got a room for him, a separate room for his missus, and a separate room for his dogs. Yeah. And then he spent the entire thing trying to win his money back on the bingo every time at sea.
The best part of all was that when he did get it, he used to shout, Castle! Oh, sorry. I mean, house. This is for you people.
House!
Ace of Base, all that she wants, 21 minutes to 9 o'clock. 087-188-0008, by the way. Of course, if you do want to have a go at our breakfast table quiz, everyone wins. You'll guarantee yourself tickets. If you can get over 5, you can get your choice of tickets. If you don't manage to get over 5, PJ's decided he's going to give you tickets. Chances are they'll be simply red ones.
Yes, I definitely will. That's the end of that now. Because you know someone... Well, I'm not going to say who they're going to pick. Because I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
What happens now if somebody comes on who's a genuine Simply Red fan?
I can't help these people. I can't. What do you want me to do? You're asking me as if I'm supposed to cure all. I can't do it. All I can do is send them to the show and hope they have a good time.
Anyway,
I doubt it very much, but you know what I mean?
You can only do your best,
I know. You can only do your best. You're right, Jim.
087-188-0008, by the way, if you want to have a go. Special, of course, today with the news breaking of the death of Larry Gogan, of course, to be playing a version, I suppose, of a quiz that will always be synonymous with that man.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Is extraordinary today. But if you fancy it, 087-188-0008. By the way, you played Ace of Base there, All That She Wants. Apparently after Christmas, all that she wants is everything you have.
Everything. It's a great time for bargains now in January. The sales are on, right? The sales are on. And if you want all that someone else has, it is boom time, bargain time for divorces. Apparently.
Really?
In Ireland, yeah. Divorce lawyers of Ireland are expected to receive up to 6 times more inquiries than usual this week.
Post-Christmas.
This Monday. Yesterday.
Why does that just make perfect sense?
Doesn't it just? So Monday yesterday is now being known as Divorce Monday with some lawyers.
God.
With some solicitors. So solicitors are saying all the festive madness and the booming economy and all of that. They've sort of incentivized is the word they're using, couples to have to finally look at each other and say, you know what? I hate you, and split.
Oh my God! Solicitors are incentivizing you to break up.
It's incentivized people because now the sort of boom is back for a lot of people.
Right.
So, and times are worse than ever for some people. I'm getting fecked down me gaff, so that's hardly any good to me. So people are now incentivized. They feel like, you know, I've got a few quid in my pocket. I don't need you. It's Divorce Monday. We got through Christmas together. Let's never do it again. And they're splitting up. So 6 times the business is flying. So John Connellan of Carly and Connellan Solicitors, he said some partners have just simply had enough of each other after the festivities. New Year is a time where people start to reflect and make decisions about their life, he says. He says, I would say we probably get between 5 or 6 times more inquiries this week than any other week of the year.
Isn't it extraordinary?
People are shopping
right?
around, and inquiries are generally made by women more than men. So it's women are sort of saying, "Yeah, you know, something."
I'm not going through that again.
That was terrible.
Cooking from all of that.
Looking
what is the
gas
that Christmas
head.
Is put out there as like, you know, they've gone the they decided the commercial thing wasn't going well for them. You know, you can't be too obvious with the commercial thing. So they do the whole, it's a time for family,
a time for reflection, a time
to realise. You don't really like your family.
I want you to look at that person you share your life with and think to yourself, do I really need this bag of idiots hanging around?
So you're going to start seeing those ads now. You know the way solicitors are always advertising for, like, you know, have you been the victim of you know, should you claim on
Thankfully,
this?
Thankfully, we don't have too much of that in Ireland. Thankfully, that's not really an Irish thing, you know the way.
Can you imagine that?
We'll see all the American ones here go, have you been bored to tears by your other half for too long?
That'd be brilliant though if an ad came on the telly as you're sitting there like, take a look at that person beside you. Really? For the rest of your life?
When you got married, did you really think this was what you were getting? It'd be a terrible marketing thing.
It's a shocking thing. Shocking thing. We have a Divorce Monday.
When you said I do, did you think you were saying I do want to sit around being ignored while you drink pints on the weekend and sit on the remote control and fart through the night in bed? I think you didn't. Now's your time to get out.
Yeah. Call 0800.
Call 0800. Christmas is over.
A shocking
it's
thing.
It's shocking,
now.
But there you
I
go.
I can't believe it. You dragged us in that direction.
But I don't know how anyone can afford a divorce in Ireland, because whatever about paying for it and the solicitor's fees and blah, 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 all of that, how does anyone afford to live separate or anything. Like, where are you going? Like, every single gaff is like $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
Every single apartment. You can get like an actual dog kennel in the centre of Dublin City or Galway now for like £1,500. What, you have to sleep in the fridge? How does anyone afford it? I don't understand. You'd have to, like, so as much as they're saying the inquiries are happening, I doubt. Yeah.
I'd say the inquiries happen and then they go, how much?
Yeah.
And then it's the end of that. And it'd be like, right, putting up a Jew and farting on the remote control for another little while, I see.
Looks like we're stuck with each other for a while, horse.
The Breakfast Table Quiz.
It's time for the Breakfast Table Quiz. Win the best prize out there is. Try to get the biggest score. Hope the next goal gets the more. It's the Breakfast Table Quiz.
The Breakfast Table Quiz with Julie Kilmartins and Ennis in Limerick. 2020 is your year. Get the exam results you deserve with Julie's. See KES.ie.
Now, before we went into the Breakfast Table Quiz, of course, we played a little bit of Simply Red and Stars. Just think, you could be actually seeing them singing that live on the stage, PJ.
Oh my God, unreal. Imagine that. How terrible. Like, but you've got two other chances. You've got Simple Minds. And the script as well. And maybe, like Jim says, maybe you are the type of person who wants to go to a Simply Red gig. That's fine. Your problems are your own. No judgment here.
It's a ticket pick and mix for you this week, as PJ said. So, Simply Red, Simple Minds, script. The choice will be yours, but to have that choice, you must score at least 5. That's the little
five is
proviso
the
proviso.
You've got to get over 5. We won't be doing what we did yesterday. We got all silly and blubbery yesterday.
Yeah, we caved in yesterday.
So, Pamela Chester, I believe, is in Dublin, is going to play this morning. Hiya, Pamela.
Hiya, how are you?
Not too bad at all, Pamela. What's the crack? Which one of those tickets would you pick now if you were to...
It certainly won't be Simply Red anyway. Yeah.
Good for you, Pamela.
Oh my God! Simply Red's getting a kicking.
Do you know what I'm doing? I'm doing something terrible here, Pamela, because we're going to end up with them at the end of the week and people are going
to
be going...
I don't think you'll be able to give them away, to be honest.
Yeah, it's my big mouth as usual get me into trouble. How are you, Pamela? How's things?
I'm grand, thanks. I was going to be cheeky actually and see if there's any chance of getting Durand tickets. No.
I tell you something.
That's unbelievable.
Oh, I tell you, it takes an Irish person to do that, doesn't it? Yeah. So we've got Simple Minds, Simply Red, and the script. Yeah, grand. Yeah. Any chance of a bit of Duran?
Yeah, I tell you something, you're definitely getting Simply Red tickets in the post, Pamela.
Right, Pamela, listen, let's get stuck in. If you get 5, you'll get your choice of tickets. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, come on.
Best of luck. Here we go.
In the TV show, what sort of business did René Artois run in the sitcom Hello, Hello?
Bar.
A cafe, I'll give you that. What is the nationality of the Liverpool footballer Mo Salah?
He's Egyptian.
Yeah, what is the zip code of the title of the 90s American teenage drama set in Beverly Hills?
90210.
Who succeeded Eisenhower to the US presidency?
George Bush.
It was JFK. Which TV cook is better known as the Naked Chef?
Jamie Oliver.
Which quiz show host had the catchphrase, "I've started so I'll finish"?
Pass.
Magnus Magnusson. On which coast of the United States is the city of New York?
Pass.
East Coast. In 1960, what type of US spy plane was shot down over the Soviet Union? Was it a U-2 or a UB-40?
U-2.
What sort of creature is a turtle, a reptile or a mammal?
A reptile.
What do beavers construct to increase water depth around their habitat?
A dam.
What sea is used for writing and drawing on blackboards?
Chalk.
No bother to you. No bother to you at all. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Not a bother to you. You're flying, Pamela. Yeah.
Flying. Brilliant. 8. So the question is...
So your Simply
is...
Red tickets are on the way, Pamela.
I'll leave it out there, PJ.
What are you going to go for then?
Duran.
You can't have Duran.
Unbelievable.
I'm only
asking.
No, it'll have to be the script.
The script tickets are on the way.
Is that the last of the script tickets?
It is, yeah.
Last of the script tickets. Lovely. There you go. Yeah. You got in just in time, Pamela. Right, listen.
I don't think she deserves them at all. Now, we gave the Duran giveaway was 3 weeks ago.
She's going to go along to the script gig and she'll be shouting, "Will you play one of the Duran songs?" Anyway, listen, Pablo, well done. Have a cracking day.
You too. Thanks for being here.
See you later, Pablo. Bye.
You've been listening to the PJ and Jim in the Morning Catch Up Podcast. Catch PJ and Jim live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on Classic Hits.